this. I actually haven't showed like the I haven't showed any of like the titles, right? And I want to talk about, you know, as we are vessels, the theme being vessels of honor for his purposes. One thing that I find that we will always have to come back to and rely on will be foundational for our being to be able to be used by God is that we are vessels of faith. Now, I just want to share a story, a picture of what that looks like, particularly a picture of what that looks like in community. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and read from Luke 5. It says this: one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And so some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I try and imagine the backstory. You know, we don't know how long this man has been paralyzed. We don't know how long he's been on this mat, but we do know he's got some friends, right? And I don't know what the conversation was like. I try and fill in the blanks a little bit. It's probably not right, but maybe close. That these friends, you know, and they're, I don't know, I imagine maybe either two friends, one for each side of his mat, right? Or maybe four friends, one for each corner. And they're hanging out and they're like, "Oh, I hear Jesus is coming. And I've heard that he does these things, these healing things for people. So let's get you to Jesus." And the guy on the mat, you know, maybe he's excited, maybe he's like, "No, whatever." And he's like, "What are you going to do?" Right? Like, "We'll take you anyways." And his friends get to this house where Jesus is at, and they're like, "Oh, dang it," right? "It's too crowded. We can't get in." Maybe one of them is like, "Maybe another day. Maybe another time. Maybe we'll catch up to Jesus later." Maybe they're looking around like, "Man, dang it, we're late," right? "We got here too late to get to Jesus." I imagine somebody, as they're looking around, they look at, like, "Oh, this building's not that tall. I wonder." Maybe one of them has work through the tiles, right? Like, you know what? We could take that apart. We could find some rope. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what kind. It's pretty creative, right? It's pretty adventurous. It seems like someone in that group really, really wanted their friend to get to Jesus. And so I imagine Jesus is sitting there and he's teaching and he's talking to people, and they've climbed up on the roof. They just start, what, digging? Was it thatch? Right? This says tiles. I don't know if it's really tiled roofs. You know, taking things up, starting to, like, let's get through. Jesus is teaching, like, right? Like, what is this? You know, they're probably like, Jesus must be right here, right? Like, you know, measuring it out. Like, they bring their friend up, like, digging through and saying, what's going on, right? At some point, it probably becomes quite a bit of a spectacle. These guys or girls, you know, whatever, this friend group just digging through a roof. I imagine Jesus stops. It's probably hard to teach with this kind of, you know, I mean, you know, like, if that was happening. And then, like, the heavens open up a man, right? Like, it says they lowered him down on a mat right in front of Jesus. It's like, bring him down. And everybody's like, what in the world is going on? And his friends at the top, they're probably, you know, once they lower him down, they're probably just like, right? Like, looking at Jesus, looking, right? Like, let's go. And this is what's amazing to me. Jesus, in Matthew, or in Luke 5, verse 20. Let me point it up. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. It's not when he saw the faith of the man on the mat. He saw and responded to the faith of his friends. His friends who would not give up, who had trust and hope and determination. I'm going to bring you to Jesus because I know that Jesus heals. I know that Jesus saves. I know that Jesus restores. And he sees their faith. Is it possible that we as people of faith can stand in faith for our brothers and our sisters, those around us, even when they maybe have none? We don't know where this guy on the mat is at. We only know where his friends are at. You talk about a community that restores, right, from sin, a community that helps bring healing for all things, right? There's a passage in James 5. Whoops, I don't know what just happened. Oh, I lost my, I'll just use my Bible. There's a passage in James 5 where it says what? If any among you is sick, 5:13. Oh, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Oh, actually, I do have this on the slide.
Yeah.
Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And what is the righteous person but the person who lives by faith? Who lives in a place of trust and confidence and belief in the Lord and what he can do. You know, one thing that as I've been reading through the Gospels is I think a lot of times we think about faith and the opposite of faith is doubt, right? Like, don't doubt, believe. I believe that's true, but I also think there's a lot of times in the scriptural narratives where faith, the opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's fear. right? When Jesus is on the waters and the boats are choppy, right? And they're begging Jesus, or the seas are choppy and the wind is blowing, the waves are rising. His disciples come to him. He says, Jesus, right? Like, we're going to die. And what does he say? Why do you fear, O ye of little faith? When we talk about the bleeding woman and how she expressed her faith, it was not in the place of doubt, in fear was what she was overcoming, right? To bring herself to Jesus, right? Fear of being caught, fear of being shamed, fear of being exposed. It's also fear. It's saying in that place of fear where I'm afraid for myself, I'm afraid for someone else, I'm afraid for the future, I'm afraid for what's going to happen, I'm afraid for how things are going to turn out, I think I'm going to trust you. From that place of fear. We get to do like amazing God things. And you know, sometimes this passage is like is a tough passage because it's very easy to like, I've prayed for somebody when they were sick and they weren't healed. I've prayed for somebody in their sin. They did not repent. And it's hard to, you know, like press on when you feel like you've done something once or you've done something twice or you've done something three times and you did not get the answer that you wanted or the desired outcome that you hoped for. You know, when I, you know, Jesus, like, you know, there, I would, you know, they said like faith like a mustard seed could like call like mountains down or something like that, right? That passage. I remember when I was young, I was like, okay, then faith is belief that what I'm praying for is going to happen, right? And so I was like, okay, let me practice this. And I was like at home at a desk and I put a pencil like over here. You can imagine what I was like. I was like, God, I believe this pencil's gonna like move to my hand, right? And I'm like, you know. I'm like, oh, I didn't believe enough, right? I need to have more faith, right? I have to have a stronger belief, right? Like, in Jesus' name, you know what I mean? Like, I pray that this will happen and like, right? And like, it didn't happen. I don't have a great answer for when the deepest desires of our hearts, we open them up to God, we pray for them, and sometimes he says, no. Sometimes he says, not right now. Sometimes he says, yes. Sometimes he says, wait. Faith, I would like for us to think of, is not just belief. Faith is trust. When we express our faith in God, we're expressing trust. Trust in the scary situations, trust for the unpredictable outcomes, trust in a future that we don't know, trust when things look like they're really bad. And sometimes we will run out. We won't have it. But then in those times, maybe it will take somebody else's faith. Someone to stand for you.
to carry you through.
I was at a retreat when I was in college, down in Virginia, college retreat. It's called I don't even know if they still have it. It's called Servants Retreat. It's mostly Korean American ministries, and their ministry was fairly more charismatic, you know, than what I have been used to growing up. But I knew like some friends going down there from Maryland, some pastors and some other college students, so I went down, and it was good. For those of you that remember, like Joyce and Kissany were down there. Some of our other Virginia friends were in the area, and so one of the big things that they do is on the last night, they have like a prayer ministry time where all of the pastors will like be up at the front, you know, and like praying for people, right? And I'd gone into this retreat feeling a little like disheartened, a feeling disconnected from God, feeling like I wanted to like reconnect, right? I wanted to, I don't know, like have a moment, right? I wanted to get impacted deeply enough to kind of like change away or change my mindset or change a feeling. And so they encouraged me, my friends, Joyce particularly encouraged me, like, hey, you should go up, right, and ask one of the pastors to pray for you. And I, being a very cautious but open, you know, person, like, I was like, okay, I'll go up. And I'm like, God, like, it's a really long line. There's like hundreds of people at this conference, right? And I was just like, God, I really need you, but I only want it to be you. Like, if there's something for me to experience, like it has to be really real, right? But I felt like I needed something. I really needed something in that moment. And so I'm like in line, like worship songs are playing, and I'm like, trying to be the holiest possible, you know, I'm like singing songs. I'm like, God, all I need is you, right? Like, you know, like, you know, walking up to this thing. And in this line in particular, like, you know, if you've ever been, sometimes there are like some more charismatic things are happening. In this line in particular, everybody was like falling on the ground, right? Like as the pastor is praying for them, they're like praying for them. It'd be, you know, something would happen, they'd be like on the ground. I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what we're going for. All right. I mean, if that's you, God, but only if it's real. Like that's only if it's real, right? And so like I go up, and Pastor Alvin at New Life Church, I think he's in Gaithersburg somewhere, I'm not sure, right? He's like, Clarence, like, let me pray for you, right? He knew me, I knew him, and I'm like, okay. He didn't ask for me for prayer because he just like put his hand like on my head, right? And just starts praying for me. And I'm like this, right? Like, I'm like, bring it, God, like I'm ready, you know? And he's like, pray for me. And I think because I'm tall, his arm got tired. And so he's like, maybe you should kneel. So then I'm like, okay. So I'm kneeling and I'm like, pray. I'm like, and he's like still praying for me. He's like praying. And I'm like, I'm ready. Let's do it. God, like, come on, right? Like, I'm open. And no, and then he finished. Like he just left. Right, like I'm there, I'm like this. He's like, It was a long line of people, right? Like I'm sure, like he had to get, you know, to the next person, and he left. And then I remember, like, I'm like on my knees, you know, like this, and I'm like, right? And I'm like, well, I guess that was that, right? Like, you know, like. And I went back to my seat, and Joyce was like, how did it go? What did God say? And I was like, nothing. And I bawled my eyes out. Because I was like, I did everything possible in my heart to be like as open, as inviting, as welcome, right? Like as far as my mind could understand at that point, as far as my faith could go at that point, I was like at like, you know, 100%, right? Like whatever, you know, like God. And it took me a lot to get up to there. Right? It takes a lot sometimes to like get to a place of like, whatever you want, God, I'm going to trust you. And I didn't know, like, I really want something. You know what I mean? I think I'm trying to be as open as possible. I'm like, I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. Like, I put myself out there like I thought I was supposed to put myself out there. And I was like, God said nothing. He rejected me. You know, and I'm like there, I'm crying, and in my head, I'm like, I guess I'm not a Christian anymore. I guess, and it wasn't that I didn't believe in God. I believed in God, but I was like, I guess this means God doesn't love me. Because it doesn't fit, right? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would welcome me in. I'm like, I like swung wide, you know? The doors of my heart, my faith, whatever. And I was like, I guess. And then I was like thinking, like, man, it's gonna be so hard to stop going to church. Like people are gonna be calling me. Like asking about me. Jenny's gonna be like, Clarence, where are you? Like, why haven't I seen you for a month, right? Like, you know, like, people are gonna be checking up on me and be like, oh man, I'm gonna have to be like, I don't know how to say God doesn't love me anymore. You know what I mean to them? And I was like, God didn't say anything. And I'm like crying there. And Joyce was like, you know, listening to me, put like a really comforting hand on my back. And she was like, don't you think that this is something you need to wrestle with? That you need to wrestle like with God for. But just because you don't understand why she was silent in that moment, he said, maybe there's something else that he might be doing. And as I was like thinking about that, I did start thinking about my life. Started thinking about the moment here at retreat when I first felt God, you know, like do something so powerful. When I first felt God call me into ministry. Like amazing things that God had done in my life. And I was like, okay, fine. Maybe one rejection or felt rejection isn't what I think it means. Maybe there's space for trust in this really murky and dark moment. And it took a friend's faith to encourage my own, like when I had lost it. We are meant to live in a community of people who we trust will be those people who will carry our stretchers, who feel responsible for us, who you feel responsible for. To trust in God's sovereignty and his plan and his purposes in those difficult times. And in those times where you're like, it's gone, I don't see it, I'm doing everything that I can.
We're meant to have those around us to carry us. We are vessels of faith, but not a personal faith where it's just me and God, a communal faith where we together are walking with the Spirit, bringing people back into a relationship with God, restoring them, standing for one another. It's the greatest privilege to live like this. God has honored us with the ability, the presence, the giftedness, the spirit, the faith even, to walk alongside one another, to carry one another, to be built up into this temple, right, that brings pleasing sacrifices of worship to our Father. And what pleases him more than to walk with each other, to bring people to him so that they could be healed, that they could be restored. As we go from here, I think these are like kind of the good base foundational things that prepare us to do the works of God, like the beautiful works of God. One, we have to understand, it's so important, as I mentioned, right? Like God's honor is on you. He loves you. He sees you. He walks with you. He hears you. And God doesn't want any extra. He wants you, not as you look on Sundays, right? All nice and done after you've had a fight in the car ride over there, right? Over to church, you know. Just wants you. That's what he works with. He wants you to walk with his Spirit, to discern where the Spirit is leading, and to follow along. And as we do that, we will restore from sin, our community from sin. It will start getting left behind. And we stand in faith. Always comes back to faith, hope, and love. I hope that these messages have been meaningful. I hope that it's encouraging. I hope that it is strengthening, that God has been here with us. We will be leaving soon and going off. I will be in Maryland for a little bit, but going back to San Diego into ministry, right, of my church. You guys will be continuing in the ministry of yours. I hope that next time we get to come together, we can tell stories of faith, of the Spirit, and enjoy the long faithfulness of God in our lives. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, encourage our faith. Encourage our trust in you, our belief in you. And where we are lacking, Lord, bring someone alongside us who will stand in faith for us, who will carry us, love us, encourage us, and support us, Lord, as we are meant to do, as we are called to do. And as we do, Lord, with the mysterious, unknown, and the fears that we have about what's coming, Lord, be put to peace. Thank you, God, so much for being here with us. I thank you so much that you love and care for each one of us. I thank you so much that you call us, Lord, into community to do the beautiful works that we get to do as followers, as vessels, Lord, of your Spirit, of vessels of your honor for your good purposes. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Well, I think you agree with me that it's been a wonderful retreat, in large part because we have had Pastor Clarence with us. He has asked or said that he hopes that his messages have been meaningful. You know, pastors have a well-developed ability to eavesdrop. So as I walk around the discussions and the meals,